Here we go. Finishing up the first parak. We're going to backtrack a little bit, just get into the Gemara. The Gemara in the middle of Chof Amid Aleph. Backtracking just a teeny bit. It says, Taran Bona Machatzela Shal Shiva Vashal Gemi Gidoyla Mesachachin Bo. We had a statement that said if you have a mat made out of shipa or a gemi, various types of thinner types of reeds or papyrus or whatever exactly, gedola mesachachin bo, kitana ein mesachachin bo, simply seems to depend on the size. If it's very large, then you can assume that it's for schach. If it's very small, then you can assume it's used for sitting, and it would be problematic to use for schach because it's mekabel tuma. Shel kanim v'shel chilas gedola. So if it's from other things that are a thicker material, so then mesachachin bo, then you can use them for schach because they're not comfortable to sit on as a mat. Aruga, but once it becomes something that's woven, so then ein mesachachin bo, then the assumption is that's for sure for some sort of sitting, and therefore it's a problem no matter what the size. Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, Omer, Shem Aviv, Achazu, Achazu, mesachachin bo, doesn't seem to make a difference, it's all good. Also said the same way, sounds like everything's good. So that's what we were up to. So the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, the problem is we're going to examine Rabbi Dosa's opinion. Rabbi Dosa seemingly seems to say that like all mats are good, but that's not really correct. We learn over there in the Mishnah, all of what's referred to as chaitzalos. Now, mats are machatzalois, with a mem and a ches and a tzadi. So what are chaisalois? Is that related to the same word? Machatzales, chaisalois? Is it mats or is it something else? At this point, the Gemara doesn't let us in exactly on what it is, but it does tell us that there's something called chaisalois, and according to Rabbi Daisa, they are metame tame mace. So what does that mean, they're metame tame mace? They're susceptible to tumas mace. So if they are used as an ohel, then they'll be makabel tuma. So it sounds like the bottom line is it is makabel tuma. What's unusual about it is why is it only makabel tumas mace? It's a kli, but it's not a mat for sitting. Why am I saying that? Because v'chachamim say medris. It's makabel tumas medris. What's tumas medris? Tumas medris means it's literally, like drisa, lidros is to trample. So tumas medrash means it's tuma that something becomes tuma when you sit on it, you lean on it, you ride in it, these types of things. It's a very severe type of tuma. It's not like a normal kind of thing. But if you have a person who's a zav, if you have a woman who's a zava, so then they have this very serious form of tuma, and then anything that they sit on or ride on or lean against, all those things become tuma, tumas medrash, which is a very severe form of tuma. So what's this machlokas exactly? So the Gemara has one more question on this before we spell it out. And the Gemara says, Medris in Tamei Meis Loi? So Rabbi Dosa says that this type of schach, or mat, whatever you want to call it, is only makabel tumas meis, but not tumas medris. Okay, that in and of itself we can understand. Because let's say you have a kli. You have a bowl, I don't know, you have a plate, you have whatever, but something that has a base kibble, or it's made out of whatever material is susceptible to tumah. So it'll become tummy mace. If there's a dead body, and it's in the same room as a dead body, there's an ohel, so then that item will become tummy mace. But if a zav decides to sit on a bowl or something, like what is that? It's not made for sitting. It's not something you sit on. So in that case, there's no such thing as tumas medris. Tumas medris means that the zav sat on something that's a chair, right? It's something you sit on, a mat that's made for sitting. Those are makabel tumas medris. So seemingly, Rabbi Dosa is saying, this type of mat is defined for some reason as a kli, and not as a sitting item. So that's why it's makabel tumas mace, but it's not makabel tumas medrash. Should I repeat that, or is that clear? When it comes to tumah, so there are different categories. Of number one, the tumah, and also what's susceptible to different types of tumah. If you have an item that's made for sitting in one way or another, one way or another, whatever it is, it's made for sitting or leaning or so you have mats, chairs, couches, you know, anything that's made for sitting in one way or another. So that's not only going to be susceptible to tumas mace, so if there's a dead body in the room, it'll become a tummy mace. It's also susceptible to what's called tumas medris, the tuma of the sitting of a zav, zava, nida, one of those types of people that has a severe form of tuma. So, but that's only if it's made for sitting. If the thing is just a kli, So kelim are makabel tuma, but they're not makabel tuma as medris, because even if a zav or a zav or a nida like sits on something, it's not made for sitting. Like what is that? It's not something you sit on. So it's not makabel tuma as medris. So that seems to be the machlokes. As Rabbi Doisa is saying, these mats are defined as a kli. It's like a bowl, which is really bizarre. So it would be makabel tuma as mace, but if a zav sits on it, it's not made for sitting, and so forth, it's not makabel tuma as medris. And the Chachamim say, no, it's Mekabel Tumas Medrash. So the Gemara wants to know, but wait a minute. It can't just be Mekabel Tumas Medrash, because the Chachamim and Medrash in Tumay Meis Loi, it's only Mekabel Tumas Medrash and not Tumay Meis. But didn't we learn in a Mishnah, Kola Metamei Medrash from Tumay Tumas Tumay Meis, that anything which is Mekabel Tumas Medrash is also Mekabel Tumay Meis. In other words, it's worse. This item is made for sitting. It doesn't lose its status of being a kli. It's a kli. So if it's in the room with a dead body, it'll become tummy maze. But in addition to that, it's a sitting kli. So it's also makabel tumas medris. But we don't have an item that's makabel tumas medris and not a kli. That doesn't make any sense. It's just a kli that's used for sitting. So something which is makabel tumas medris is always worse than something that's makabel tummy maze. But it's not going to be mutually exclusive. Yeah? So can't be. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ema af medris. The Chachamim say, it's also, it's even makabel tumas medris. Okay, so what's the machlokes? So Rabbi Doisa seems to be saying that these mats, for some strange reason, are defined as a kli. And they're not makabel tumas medris. But of course, it would makabel tumas meis. And the Chachamim come along and say, no. Apparently, it's used for sitting. It's a sitting mat. And therefore, it's makabel tumas medris as well. Sounds like a little bit of funny machlokes, so I'll go figure it out, right? What we were talking about last time. So go ask, go do a survey. What do people use it for? What was it made for? I don't know. Whatever the issue is, let's figure it out. So there's some sort of machlokes and definitions over here. Maybe some people use it for this, some people use it for that, whatever. However, we'll work out exactly the machlokes. But that's what they say. Midoisa says it's makabel tamay mace, not tumas madras. And the Chachamim say it's makabel both. Now the Gemara gets back to the original question that we should have asked. What in the world are we talking about? What are chaitzolos? My chaitzolos? Because that's what we're debating here. These chaitzolos, quote unquote, according to Bidaisa, are only a kli, and according to the Chachamim, are also something that people sit on. What are they? Amar of Avdimi Bar Amduri. Avdimi Bar Amduri says, it's marzuble. Marzuble? What are marzuble? My marzuble! That doesn't help us. What are marzuble? Amar Rabbi Abba, mezavle. Got it. So did anybody look up this word? What's mezavle? What is this? The shepherds, well, it's really not, that's the thing. The shepherds used to have this big bag, a big sack that they would use. And so they would put whatever they wanted in the sack. But what's interesting about the shepherds is that they had, it was like a shepherd's sack. You know when you go shopping for like a new like laptop bag, you know? There's like the, what do they call this? The messenger bags, you know? And there's all these different kinds of bags. So the shepherd bags were a certain type of bag that the shepherds used, and they were made in a certain way that made it easier for them both to carry things in, and also when they needed to use it as a pillow or something that's a cushion. So for that reason, they would also sit on it. They would also lean on it. So that's where the Chachamim seem to be coming from, is that we don't understand the opinion of Rabbi Doisa. These are things that, on the one hand, were made to be a bag. On the other hand, you go take a look at the way all the shepherds are using them. The shepherds are using them as a pillow or as a cushion to sit on, to sleep on even. I don't know, take a nap. You got to be careful. You got to watch the sheep, right? You can't lose track of the sheep. But whatever. Apparently, they would take breaks and whatever. And they would use it as some sort of pillow or cushion or whatever. So that seems to be the machlokes. According to this, which is not relevant to our sugya, by the way. If you hold like this, it has nothing to do with us. It's just a question of tumah v'tahara. In terms of tumah v'tahara, how do you define something that's obviously made to be a bag, but is used regularly by the shepherds as a cushion? So does it now become something that's makabel tumas medris? Or you know, or no? Look at it! It's a bag! You use it as a pillow, that's your problem. Is it with me? So that seems to be machlokes. But there's another opinion about what chaitzalos are. So according to the other way to look at it, it's very relevant to us. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Who's Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish? What's his other name?
Reish Lakish.
So Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, he says, Machatzal is mamish. Chaitzalais, whatever reason they're referred to here as chaitzalais, it just means mats. They're mats. They're mats. They're mats. They're mats. Well, that's what we've been discussing the whole time. Now it's all confusing. So let's backtrack for 1 second then. So the way the Gemara started was, it said there seem to be mats that are made out of different materials. And depending on how thin or soft it is how you're going to, and how big or big and small they are. So two factors, the thickness and the, what do you call it? The length, whatever, how big it is. Those are the two factors that are going to help us to define whether you can assume it was for schach and not mekabel tuma, or you can assume it's for sitting, and then it is a problem that it is mekabel tuma. Those are the two factors we'll use. The bigger it is, the more likely it is for schach. And the thicker the material, also the more likely it is for schach. In the opposite direction as well. The thinner it is and the smaller, the more likely it is, the more obvious it is, that it's used as a mat for sitting down on. So what's this machlokas? Rabbi Doisa and the Chachamim. Rabbi Doisa is the one that said, I hold like Rabbi Shimon. Sorry, like Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is the one that said, I don't care what it is, you can use it for schach. All mats are good for schach. And Rabbi Doisa, Omer Kidvarov. That was the quote we had before. Rabbi Doisa said the same thing, that all mats seem to be fine. But wait a minute. According to Reish Lakish, chaitzalais are mats. And now Rabbi Doisa says in Megabel Tumas Meis. So that's what the Gemara is really... The Gemara doesn't spell all this out so well, but that's what the Gemara is after. And the Gemara is after Rabbi Doisa. Because Rabbi Doisa made a comment that he holds exactly like Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, which is that mats all seem to be fine for schach. They're not Megabel Tumas. But here Rabbi Doisa says very clearly, these chaitzalais are mekabel tumas meis. Okay, not tumas medrash. But they are mekabel tumas meis. In which case, you can't use them. They're some kind of kli. You can't use them for schach. So Gemara says that is a contradiction in Rabbi Doisa's opinion. What is going on here? How do we resolve this? The Gemara takes a break for a minute for a slightly tangential point. Because the Gemara said that according to Reish Lakish, it's a problem. But according to the first opinion, which was Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri, chaitzalais are the shepherd's bags. In which case, there's no contradiction in Rabbi Doisa. Rabbi Doisa held mats are fine. Shepherd's bags are makabel tumas mace because they're a kli. And that's fine. That's what we would expect. But according to Reish Lakish, who holds that chaitzalais are mats, then how do you work out the contradiction in Rabbi Doisa? On one hand, he seems to say, all mats are fine, but chaitzalais mats, which are mats, are apparently makabel tumas meis, because for some reason they're defined as a kli. What is going on? But as the Reish Lakish latame, and Reish Lakish is going according to his normal approach, Dam Reish Lakish, Harini Kaparas Rabbi Chiya Ubanav, I should be the atonement for Rabbi Chiya and his children. What? So take a slight break for 1 second. When Rachman Alitzlan, when someone's father passes away, so Shulchan Aruch writes that the minig is that when a person says something about his father, mentions his father, the first year, instead of saying, you know, Zichron Alivracha or Alav HaShalom or something like that, he says, Harini Kaparas Mishkavo. I should be the atonement for his rest, for his death. Harini Kaparas Mishkavo. Remember, when Rav Meir Tversky lost his father, so I was attending a lot of his shurim at the time, and he kept quoting his father. And every time he quoted his father, he would say, Harini Kaparas Mishkavo. So I became very used to the phrase. So that's what seems to be going on in our Gemara, but it's not his father. The Gemara is saying that the Reish Lakish, when he would quote Rabbi Chiya, to Amar Reish Lakish, Harini Kaparis Rabbi Chiya Ubana, I should be an atonement for Rabbi Chiya and his children. So apparently they had died, and he's saying, you know, I should be an atonement for them. Why should he be an atonement for them, you know? A child is an atonement for the parent, right? Why? How does that work? Why should a child ever be an atonement for the parent?
Next generation.
Because the parent brought that kid into the world, right? You know how like a ship goes by, and after a few minutes, you're sitting on the beach, and there's no more ship, but there's this big wave. But it's the wake of the ship that passed through. Where's the ship? Well, the ship is way down the sea. Well, then what is this? The answer is, that's the wake. Because the way that waves work is that they just go through the water until eventually they reach far distances. So you can tell where the ship has been from the wake. So the children are the wake of the parents. Whatever they put in motion during their life is a credit to them, even when they're no longer alive. So a person, a child, can say, Harini Kaparas Mishkavo, I can atone to a certain degree for my father, for my parents, because I'm a continuity of them, and whatever I'm doing is a credit to them. So even though atonement usually means like a forgiveness for the past, but at the very least, it's racking up certain credits for the parents aren't in the world anymore. That's really the concept of Kaddish. Yeah? There's a story, and the Kitzur Sefer Shlai brings this down, his Medrash Elam, that there was a Chacham. And this Chacham had a dream one night, and there was this thing screaming out in pain. It freaked him out in his dream. And he said, "What are you?" And he said, "I'm a Rasha suffering in Gehenna." He says, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How can I help you?" He says, "Well, if you really want to help, I have a son. And I lived in this town in the Galil. And I have a tiny option of Zechus. You see, I was a big Rasha. And I didn't do anything right. And I became a bandit. And eventually I robbed somebody on the road, and they had a security patrol or whatever, and I was shot with an arrow. And I was writhing in pain, dying. And I thought to myself, maybe I should do tshuva, I might die. Nah. But because I had a moment of hirhuri tshuva, since Shemayim, they're making it possible that I can get out of Gehenna, but I need your help. The only way for me to do it is to have some sort of merit. And the only way for me to have merit is if my son learns Torah. So maybe you could, maybe you help me out." And then he wakes up. So the Chacham decides he's going to look into this. And he travels to the Galil, to the town that he told him. And he asks about this fellow. And sure enough, the town people say, "Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He's got a nasty son." "What do you mean?" Like, "Oh my gosh, just like his dad. Nasty, rude, obnoxious, oh, terror. He's a terror." So he says, "Great." So he meets up with the kid. I don't know, maybe the mother was alive, I don't know. And somehow, probably with money and treats and who knows what, he convinces the kid, "Come back with me to Yerushalayim." So he says, "Okay, fine." So he comes, brings the kid back to Yerushalayim. But the kid's mama is a terror. He probably had ADHD and all kinds of things. And so the kid simply cannot learn even Aleph Beis. Even Aleph Beis, he just can't learn it. Not interested, not doing it, whatever. It's not working. So the Chacham decides he really wants to help this poor guy out. So he starts fasting. So he fasts for 40 days. Nothing doing. He does it again. Nothing doing. He says, "Okay, one more time, a third time's a charm, and that's it." So he fasts for 40 days again. So he's gone through 120 days of fasting that the child should be able to learn and should be a zechus for his father. Finally, after those 120 days, the kid finally starts absorbing some of this Torah. And it describes how there were all kinds of malochei chaval, all these angels and shadim and who knows what, that were preventing the child from absorbing Torah. But the tefillos, like I mentioned to you this morning, in a leirakos, her eyes became whatever it was from crying. That tefillos can do anything. So finally it worked. The kid learned, had his bar mitzvah. Eventually he actually got smicha and became a rav. And the Medrash Sel tells us, you know, who it was. Fast forward many years later, Chacham has another dream. And this time, there's this like tremendous shining light. He says, "Whoa! Who are you? What are you?" He says, "Oh, you don't remember me? You recognize me? I'm the Russia from scene one." They go, "Wow, you're looking better now." "Yes, those are the rays of Gan Eden, the Shechina that you see reflecting off of me. And I owe it all to you." And he describes how at every stage of the game that the son was able to start learning, so they brought him to like the doorway of Gehenna. And then when he started, he had his bar mitzvah, and he said, "Barcho." They like took him out of Gehenna, and then they brought him towards the doorway of Gan Eden. And then it stayed step by step as the child progressed in his learning of Torah. So they also, the father was able to progress in his levels until this fellow, who was really a Rasha, was able to actually get into Gan Eden. So the Kitzur Sefer Shlah writes, that's how important it is to educate our children. If this is true by a Rasha, and that could be such a zechus for him. So imagine the zechus that we all have, number one, from learning Torah ourselves, and from sending our children to yeshivas, and make sure that they learn what a tremendous zechus it is for the parents and for all of Klal Yisrael. So Rosh Lakish says, "Harini kaparis mishkavoy. I should be a kapar and atonement for Rabbi Chia and his children. Why does he want to be a kapar for them? What's the agenda?" So he explains, originally, that's a crazy phrase. When Torah was forgotten from the Jews? What? But Torah is forgotten. So it means to say that in the times that Klal Yisrael had the first galus, right before Ezra Sofer, there's a lot of confusion going on. There's a lot of people doing the wrong thing. There's a lot of intermarriage at the time. So Ezra was very involved in getting people to divorce these wives that they had married, these non-Jewish women, and trying to make sure that people were holding in Torah once again. So Ola Ezra mi Bavel the Yasida. Ezra came out of Bavel, brought much of Klal Yisrael out of Bavel, and he gave it a new foundation. People should be able to remember Ezra. Do you remember what Ezra's masakin? The Kriyas HaTorah that we have, where we have it Monday, Thursday, Mincha. So even the Moshe Rabbeinu did certain things. Ezra Sefer also was masakin certain takanas that we should have a constant Kriyas HaTorah. So people would be learning Torah. People wouldn't forget the Torah. So that was stage one. But it wasn't enough because later on, Chazav Nishtachicha, there were certain things, again, Chas V'Shalom, not Kol HaTorah Kulu. It wasn't that people forgot the Torah. But there were certain things that fell by the wayside. So people were forgetting again. So came along Allah Hillel Abavli, the original Hillel. And he went ahead, the Yasada, and he created new foundations again. What exactly he did, I don't know, you got to do a little research to figure it out. But apparently he was very involved. You know who he was? What his position was in Klal Yisrael, Hillel? Hillel was the Nasi. He was the descendant of David HaMelech. And so he obviously instituted certain things in Chinuch to be able to allow people to hopefully retain more Torah. Unfortunately, Chazar and Shtakcha, again, there were problems. People were forgetting things again. Alu Rabbi Chia Ubana V'yastua. Rabbi Chia and his children, they did something else to foster the Chinuch, beginning things with great purity, and was able to get people to learn once again. Okay, V'chena Rabbi Chia Ubanav, and it was Rabbi Chia and his children who apparently they had a great agenda to spread Torah, not to forget it. So what they said has a certain greater legitimacy, because they're trying to make sure things weren't forgotten. So what did they say? Loi nechleku Rabbi Doisa v'chachamim v'chatzala shalusha. Rabbi Doisa and the Chachamim, again, that's where we started here. According to Rish Lakish, it's mats. What's the machlokes? Rabbi Doisa held at the mats and Makabal Thomas mace. And the Chachamim said they're Makabal also Tumas Medris. They didn't argue on the mats of Usha. Usha was the name of a certain town, so whatever mats were generally produced or used in Usha, they never argued about that. Shehem Tumeyos, everyone agrees that those types of mats were Makabal Tuma. Rashi writes, Af Medris. That they were sleeping bags, they were used for sleeping. And they were never used for anything else. They were never used for schach or anything else. So everyone agrees about those mats that for sure they are makabel tuma. Which is Tveria, in the opposite extreme. The mats that were produced or used primarily in Tveria, shehein tahoiros, they for sure were always used for schach. They were never used for sitting at all. They're tor. Aman achlekuk. So then what in the world is this machluk? Is ridos and chachamim? Al shar makoimos, the mats that are produced in all the other places. Mar Savar, master, one of them holds, came on the leka de Yasiv Alayu, since no one ever sits on them, kide Tveria Damya. We should compare them to the ones from Tveria, and they're not Makabal Tuma. Whose opinion is that? Rabbi Doisa. Umar Savar, the other master holds, came on the Mikri, since it does occur, the Yasiv Alayu, and there is sitting on them, kide Usha Damya. We should compare them to the ones from Usha. So everyone agrees about these mats. They weren't regularly used for sitting. But people did occasionally use them for sitting. So that's the machlokas. There's some sort of threshold at which we can assume we treat the mats like sitting mats. And then there's some sort of threshold where everyone would agree of, give me a break. That's too out of the ordinary. But that's a machlokas, where we draw the line and how you define it. Fine. Amar mar. Kol achad tzales temein tamemeis. So let's go back to what we quoted. So you said that all of these quote-unquote chaitzalis, which was a machlekes, what it meant, but Rish Lakish is when it holds it means mats. So they're all tamei meis according to Rabbi Doisa. V'hatanya, but didn't we learn in a braisa? V'chein haya Rabbi Doisa omer kedevarav. The Rabbi Doisa held when it comes to mats, just like Rishmal Rabbi Yosi, that they're all fine. So this is getting back to our original question now. Original question was, this is a contradiction in Rabbi Doisa's opinion. Does Rabbi Doisa hold that all mats are fine, like Rishon Rabbi Yosi? Or he holds that there are certain mats that are makabel tumas meis? What is going on over here? For answers like Kashya, it's not a question. It depends if it has a gadanfa or not. What's a gadanfa? A gadanfa is a lip, an edge, a border. So what does that mean? So very interesting. So let's say you have a mat, and the mat has some sort of lip that sticks up along the edges. So that means that that is not just a mat. That is an actual kli. In other words, it becomes a basket. So that's an interesting definition. That goes back, this explains everything now. So according to the other opinion that holds that these chaitzalos are the shepherd bag, okay, that's a separate issue. Tumah v'tara, it's a bag, it's a kli. It's a bag. It's a makabel tumah. How can a mat be makabel tumas meis? Why is it a kli? Now this answers everything. Because since we're talking about mats that have edges, that have a lip on the end, so those mats are all defined as baskets because you could put things into them. If you're outside and you want to load it up with stuff, so the lip prevents things from rolling off. So apparently that's what they were at least sometimes used for. And therefore, it has a status of a kli, and Ridaiso holds those are not mats. They are baskets. Hence, he calls them chaitzalos and not machatzalos, the regular word that's used for mats. Good? Clear? Water, milk, or mud? Okay. Meisave. Attack question. Get into attack formation. Chaitzalos, shel sham, mishel gemi, mishel sak, mishel sphira. So you have these different mats made of all these different things. What are all these different things? Oh, yeah, yeah. So we've got... sham is a species of rush, a slender-stemmed marsh plant. Is that what he translates it as?
Bulrush.
What? Gemi? So we had that before. No, that's sak, right? Yeah, that's the papyrus one. A gemi is some sort of a very thin reed or something like that. Something like papyrus. But still, sak. Sak is sackcloth. What's sackcloth made out of? Like a burlap. Yeah, so here the assumption is made out of goat hair. Vishal sphira.
Horse hair.
Which is not apparently the hair that's on the body. It comes from the tail and from the mane or whatever you call the pony thing. I never understood.
That's what they always use. Why people have ponies?
Can I ask you a serious question? You know, I am married. I have a daughter, and I love my wife and my daughter very much. And I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, you know, what do you call these people that hate women? I just don't understand. Why do they call it a ponytail?
Because it looks like a pony's tail.
So what does that make their head?
Are you asking this misogynistic term?
I just never understood this.
It might be.
How could you have a ponytail? That means... Okay, anyway, let's stop with it.
No, it's just that that's a style. It's a hairstyle. I'm just like a ponytail.
Why do they all have tails sticking out of their heads? Pigtails, ponytails. What in the world is going on around here? Can't we come up with a better name?
It's the mane.
Oh. Anyway, okay.
No, guys. Deer.
So, what's sphira? Some kind of horse. But it's not the hair of the horse. It's from the tail or the mane or whatever. So it's much softer than it would have been. Because the goat hair is very, very hard. Right, it's a sharp, thick. Well, how do you describe it? It's a rough type of hair. The horse one would be much softer. In any case, all of these are all different kinds of mats made out of all these different materials. Matame tame mace, divi Rabbi Daisa. Oh man, now we're back to square one. So Rabbi Daisa now is saying, well, all of these mats are makabel tumas mace, but until now we've been assuming that it's not because of the material it's made with, it's because it has a lip. It's defined as a basket. So it's a kli. Now we don't understand anymore. Because now it seems to be that he's defining them based on the material, not based on the structure. Av medris. No, the metami medris as well. Oh, yeah, yeah. Bish, lama laman damar mazar blay shal shoam, shal gemi chazu lakinta de pire, shal sak, shal sphira, chazu the gulke vitsine. So Bishlama, I'm at peace. I'm good with the man, the Umar, the one who holds that the chaitzalos are marzublei, meaning they're the shepherd bags, because the description of the material is significant. Why? Because what are you going to use it for? It does become a bag. It does become a basket because you can put certain things in it, and depending on the material, will change what it's used for. If it's made out of sham or gemi, what are these again? Benji, help me out. Sham is.
Bulrush.
Gemi
is the papyrus.
So they're fit for kinta de pire. What's kinta de pire? So kinta means like a basket, a bag. Pire is peros.
Fruit.
Sometimes I thought you put fruit in it, no big deal. Shall sak or shall sphira. If it's made out of hair, either the goats or the horses. Chazu le gulke vitsine. What's gulke vitsine? Fine, for smaller types of things. In other words, because if you're making it, the holes are smaller. The holes are smaller. Elo leman de'amar machatzales mamish. According to Reish Lakish, that chitzales are mats. So what do you mean? What's going on with what it is made out of? Bishla, Mishal, Sak, Mishal, Sfira. So okay, you could argue if they're made out of the hair of the goat or the horse, Chazu leparse v'nafvasa. Then it's fit. You could use it as a kli for what? Curtains and like sifters. Yeah, curtains and sifters. So the curtains you're going to use for your windows, so we'll define that as a kli. And a sifter is because you want to be able to sift, okay, I guess we'll assume your flour or whatever. Flour. Anyone here ever sift flour?
Yeah.
Ever, in America? Ever find any bugs?
No.
Never, huh? In Eretz Yisrael, apparently it's much more likely that when you sift it, you're going to find worms and bugs and things like that. I asked our economist a long time ago, should we sift the flour? He said, yeah. So we sift our flour. My wife makes challah or whatever. We sift our flour, but we've never found anything in the United States of America, so it's probably not really necessary.
You sift the flour you get from the bag?
Yeah. They can get wormy.
I sifted, like, flour.
What do you mean?
Right when you cut the wheat.
You sifted it right after harvested?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool. That's very cool. So, if you know, you have these types of mats. So, because apparently they could or were used as a sifter or as curtains, so okay, so that has the definition of a kli. Interesting. Because it's not, until now, we've been assuming they're just used for schach or for sitting. We never really thought maybe they could be used for other things. But now we have discovered that apparently sometimes people used them for sifters or curtains or whatever. Elishal shamishal gemi, but a mat that's made out of reeds, bulrush, whatever, or the papyrus, my chazu. What are you going to use it for? It's not a kli. It doesn't have any. It's not a basket. What? It's just a strip of cloth. What in the world? Linziosa. Sounds like a Russian word. Anyway, what does that mean? So apparently, people sometimes would use it as a cover for I don't know, vats or thick pots, large pots that you would brew things in. People used it as pot covers. I'm not sure why, if the material lends itself. Does he have an explanation over that? Like, what's the pshat? Anybody? The art scroll or the shine cells? Like, why would they use that over anything else? Like, why? Chazu, these mats can still be considered a kli because they're fit to be used for nziyasa. Nziyasa.
Apparently, there's a distinction between mats that are used temporarily as covers and those initially designated as covers for vessels. The latter are considered part of that vessel.
Yeah, but why would anybody do that? That's what I'm trying to. Why, in other words, why is this material better than any other material? Okay, whatever. That's the way it was. My sisha, haya, kachaya. Okay, so we answered the question, right? And the question was, how could it be nice to say that mats are all fine and all of a sudden say that mats are tamei meis, which means that they're a kli? So the answer is, it depends on the material. That's really what he's saying. There are certain mats made out of certain materials that were actually used for other things. So if it's made out of those specific materials, then you have to treat those mats like they are a kli, even without a lib. And then they become problematic. They're mekabel tumas meis, and they cannot be used for schach. Ika de amri, that those that say, bish, lama d'man d'am machan salis mamish. I'm good with the one that says, like Rish Lakish, that chaitzal lois are actual mats. Shal sham v'shal gemi. If they're made out of bulrush or papyrus, chazal and ziyasa, because then, okay, obviously, those things could be used to cover the vats for brewing things. Shal sak v'shal sfira. If they're made out of hair, either of the goat or the horse, chazal the papyrus and vasa, so they can be used for curtains or for sifters. Elamanda amar marzuble, but if you're going to hold that it's a shepherd's bag, bish, lama shal sak v'shal sfira, so I understand if it's made out of the horse hair, the goat hair or the horse hair, chazal l'gul gaiv it's in it. So then you can use it for, what are these things again? The smaller stuff, like beans and much smaller fruits, because it doesn't have large holes. Elishal sham, shal gami, but if you're going to make a bag out of reeds, out of bulrush, or out of papyrus, lamai chazu, what are you going to put in there? Things are going to fall through. The big fruits, you know, you can put big fruits in there and that'll be fine. It's enough air, they don't get moldy, and then they don't fall through the holes. Okay, it's the same point though. It all works out the same way. It's just a question of, are we asking a question and which direction becomes more obvious, which direction becomes less obvious? Are we happier about the bags, or are we happier to define them as mats? But it's all the same thing at the end of the day. Tanya, or Rechinina. Rechinina said, Kishiradati Lagoyla, when I went down to the Galus, because Eretz Yisrael is always considered to be higher than all of the other places in the world. So it's called going into Galus, it's always referred to as going down. When I went down to Bavel, Matzasi Zaki Nechar, I found an older man, for Omar Lee, and he said to me, because he's an old man. What's Budaya? Rashi says Budaya, second to last Rashi, second last line in Rashi, Machatzalos, mats. So this old man told him, you can be Masachek with mats. We've been spending our whole page making distinctions between mats and materials and lips. And the old man says mats are fine. Okay. And when I got to Rabbi Yeshua, the brother of my father, we call that his uncle, he admitted that he was correct. Ruchista said, but provided it doesn't have a lip, it doesn't have an edge. So it sounds like the Gemara seems to be kind of coming to a psak halacha here, right? If you're the Rif and you're cutting out all the Gemara, you just want to be left with psak halacha. Sounds like what you would do with this Gemara is you would erase all of this discussion. You see, at the end of the day, halacha lemaaseh sounds like, oh, we don't care about the material of the mat. We really just care about whether or not it's defined as a basket because it has like an edge that things can be prevented from rolling off of it. Amar Ula, Ula said, Honey, Budaisa, Dibnei Mechuza. These mats are the people that live in Mechuza. Amalei kir shalahen, had it not been for their kir, what's a kir? Rashi, last Rashi, hu gadanpa, that's the lip, that's the edge. Had it not been for their, what is a kir literally, anybody know?
Wall.
A wall. Had it not been for their wall, so Rashi's like, what do you mean a wall? I don't want a wall. I mean, the lip, the wall, relatively speaking to the mat, the lip. Had it not been for their lip, mesachachin buhu, you could have used it for schach. Okay, so what's his Kiddush exactly? Not exactly sure, but what he's pointing out is the same principle we've seen so far. It doesn't make a difference what it's made out of. All that seems to make a difference is if it has a lip. Tanya Namihachi with a brace, so also like that, Mesachin bibudaya, you can be Mesachin with mats, Yimyesh lahen kir, but if they have a wool, meaning they have a lip, Ein Mesachin behen, you cannot use them for Eschach, Hadran, Allah, Sukkah. La 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 la